question was asked. Missiles falling on the south. 1 million Jews are tonight spending the night in the bomb shelter. We have over 30,000 reservists that were called to duty today. And we have battalions standing on the border prepared to enter war in Gaza. What are we supposed to do out here in Jerusalem? Missile was shot, two missiles towards Tel Aviv tonight. And the question is, what are we supposed to do? So, the Torah tells us, "V'chitavo milchama be'artzechem," when war comes to your land. So, daven. So we have a biblical mitzvah to pray. That's number one. How do you pray? Well, you could begin with a word of praise, Hashem who created the world. And then you could request, please have mercy on us. Please protect our soldiers. Please take care of the people of the south. And then you end with a word of praise. There, say, Hashem, I thank you for taking care of us, creating this world, watching over the world. You fulfilled your biblical mitzvah of prayer. Praise, request, praise. You could incorporate it in your Shmona Esrei. You could say Tehillim. But there is a biblical mitzvah to daven. So that's number one. And let's not underestimate it, because our tendency is that when things go wrong, we freeze. Oh no, let's go look online what happened. And I'm not telling you not to look online what happened, but there's a way a Jew's supposed to react. When something goes wrong, he's supposed to talk to the Creator. So number one is daven. Number two, the Torah says that when things go wrong, we have a responsibility to do introspection. It says that in the rebuke, in the tochacha, I'm sorry, do you mind taking that down? In the Tochacha, so it says that when things go wrong, so a person has to see in it a personal sign. A person has to see in it a message for himself, to ask himself, where am I supposed to improve? Where should I be a better person? And here, even though that sounds simple, I just want to caution, people have a tendency of taking this the wrong way. They put the stress on things they shouldn't put the stress on. A guy says, okay, from now on, I'm getting up a seek and I'm getting up to that minion at 5:30 every morning. And then he destroys the rest of his day. He doesn't have patience for his kids. He doesn't have patience for his wife. And who said that's what God wanted of him in the first place? So people tend to focus on things that are not necessarily the most relevant thing. So a person has to think. Maybe he has to do better on the mitzvah of Kibbutz Av Aim. Maybe he has to learn a little bit more seriously to be more focused. Maybe he has to have more kavanah when he prays. Maybe he has to be more careful not to slander his fellow man. There are mitzvot that are biblical, that are of greater importance. Maybe he has to be more careful to be honest. There are mitzvot that are biblical. The mitzvot I just mentioned are biblical. Not to say something hurtful to a fellow man is biblical. Not to slander is biblical. So that's point number two. The Torah says when things happen, a person has to stop and think, and we as a group of people have to stop and think. We as a community, we as a people at large, we have to pause and think. There's another point. The Talmud tells us that in the days of Ahav, we would go to war, and it was miraculous. Yeah, that's a good word tonight. Miraculous. The Talmud says we wouldn't lose a single soldier. Interesting, that's what the Minchas Chinuch writes. He writes, the nature of war is that people die. Even God's wars. Even when we're fighting the wars that it's a mitzvah to fight. The nature of war is that people die. And so there's a backing for that Minchas Chinuch in the Jerusalem Talmud, that discusses the comparison between Ahav's time and King David's time. In Ahav's time, people were running after paganism, people were running after women, men were running after men. We had a pretty decrepit state of the state. But we would go to war, and everyone would come back whole, not a single casualty. In King David's time, King David was into education. The youngest child knew the details, the intricacies of the laws of purity. What's defiled, what's pure, when, how do you purify it? Wow, they were on the highest level learning Torah. And yet they'd go to war, and repeatedly they'd suffer casualties. So the Jerusalem Talmud asks, well, why? And so the answer that's given in the Jerusalem Talmud and in the Medrash is that in Ahav's time there was unity. The people would not slander one another. They wouldn't talk lashon hara. They were careful not to speak badly about one another. There were other problems in society. You had paganism. You had terrible sins. But as far as the people as a whole, there was unity. Eliyahu could stand on Mount Carmel and say, I alone remain a prophet for God. And among the crowd, there are masses of people who know that there are 50 prophets hiding in one cave and 50 prophets hiding in another cave, and no one pops up. No one thinks, let me be extra pious. Let me just find favor with the king and the queen and just tell them, hey, guess what? There are 100 prophets hiding under your nose. No one. So the people were unified. They might have been following pagan beliefs. They might have been committing heinous crimes, but they were unified. And when the people are unified, when there isn't lashon hara, when one doesn't rat on the other, so then we go to war, and everyone comes back home. But in King David's time, people were super learned. You didn't have paganism. You didn't have illicit relationships. You didn't have men running after men. King David, he had a strong regime. Torah was at the forefront. But you find infighting all the time. This one's talking about that one. That one's talking about this one. There's politics. So we have a tradition that these were people on a high level, and there were other calculations, and if for the sake of heaven, but at the end of the day, it wasn't on the level of unity it should have been. And so when they'd go to war, they'd suffer casualties. So we see from the Talmud that we as a people are judged, and when we as a people can elevate ourselves to unity, to accepting our fellow man, and being careful not to say lashon hara, not to say hurtful things about our fellow man, so then that is a segula, an amulet. We said we're a generation that looks for segulot. So that's a segula for the people succeeding at war. So even though there isn't a biblical commandment specifically for a time of war that says, go be careful, there's a commandment 365 days a year to be careful not to hurt our fellow man and to be patient and forgiving. But we can take that to heart, and that could be a point which we always have to work on, which we could work on even more at times like this. And every person has to know that even though we're judged as a whole, as a people, but individuals can make their difference. The Talmud tells us that when the Romans were trying to take down the Second Temple, there was one pious individual that, thanks to him, they couldn't break in. So they found a way to get him killed by Bar Kokhba himself. They found a way of getting Bar Kokhba to think that he was plotting a rebellion against him, and they had their men cause some infighting, and Bar Kokhba kicked him and killed him. Powerful man, Bar Kokhba, and that's when the Romans were able to penetrate. But we have to know that on a global level, every one of us can make a difference, and it's our responsibility to make that difference, to take that extra step, to go the extra mile in all mitzvot. And then we propel Am Yisrael forward. And in our tefillot, as always, a person should be innovative. A person should express himself. Tefillah is about, it's the speech of the soul. It's the soul's conversation with the Creator. So a person, if he's uncomfortable doing it here, a person can go far away. You know, I found that I was able to move forward in my tefillah when I went to Hasidish Beis Medrash, where no one knew me. When I used to go to Rav Halberstam, we discussed them earlier tonight. When I used to go to Rav Halberstam's house, I'd have to come early in the morning to get on the sign-up sheet. The office would only open at 9, but the sign-up sheet would go up at like 7. So I'd show up at like 6:30 and get on the sign-up sheet once it was up, and then I'd go daven and mash arm with the Hasidim. So there, no one knew me. I could put the tallis over my head, and I could be myself. So sometimes you have to find those places where you could have kavanah, which are not necessarily Machon Meir. If it's Machon Meir, very good, but maybe it's the Kotel. Maybe it's some other place. What? Ol Yitzchak. Okay. To each his own. Okay. Yeah. So what did we say? We said we have a mitzvah of tefillah, a biblical mitzvah. We said tefillah consists of praise, request, praise. We said you could do more in Tehillim. You could do more in your Shemoneh Esrei. But that's our biblical mitzvah of tefillah at a time of danger, at a time of Am Yisrael's need. We said we have a biblical mitzvah of tshuva. Mitzvah of introspection, where every individual has to ask himself. And then we discuss the idea that when we're unified, when we work on Ahavat Chinam, when we work on keeping the laws of Lashon Hara, so that's also something that helps us move forward when it comes to our soldiers going out to war.